Good morning. Welcome back to Unite Immigrant Families. I'm Rosemary Vega. I'm an immigration attorney here in Houston, Texas. I know it's been some time since my last podcast, but I'm back. I felt like it was time that I recorded a podcast, especially right now, because there are new fees that are going to be implemented April 1st with the USCIS. And some of these new fees are good. Some of them are bad. So, well, not bad, but they're an increase. And some of them are actually going down. So I don't see it as a bad thing, you know, but it is a fee change, right? Today I have Mariana, and she's my legal assistant. Hi, Mariana. How are you today?
Hi, Rosemary. Good morning. I'm great. Thanks for asking, and thank you for having me. It is a pleasure for me to be here today.
Great. So we are going to discuss the fee changes with USCIS, and I wanted you specifically on today's podcast because you do a lot of the forms, and you have a lot of interaction with the clients. So yes. I wanted you to talk about how the fee increase or the fee change is going to affect some of your work, because immigration is trying to change their system and they're trying to do a lot of stuff online, a lot of their applications online, and they're trying to incentivize by giving a little bit of discount on their fees to try to do some of these applications online. And some of these applications can be done online, and some of them might not be a good idea to be done online. And that's why I wanted you to explain, to help me explain why some of these applications probably would not be a good idea to be done online. And also some of the difficulties we have had in doing the applications online with the clients. And overall, I mean, I've done some of the applications online historically without a problem, but recently there's been a few hiccups, and that might just be USCIS changing their system, and that might have been some of the hiccups. But let's go through some of the applications really quick, because I see that, well, let's talk about why there's going to be an increase. Yeah. You know, USCIS, they're usually self-funded. So a lot of people don't know that. You know, they get very small percentage of their monies from you know, the government. Other than that, they're usually self-funded. Their pays comes from the application fees. So their salaries and whatnot. So, and they haven't had a pay increase in a long time, right? So it's kind of important to have that. So that is really important, right? USCIS tells us that it's about 4 or 5% of their funding comes from the appropriations bill. And that means all the rest, 95% of their funding comes from filing fees. So that is huge.
Yes.
Right? So they're raising fees because they need to kind of work on the backlog. Right? Yeah. I mean, an I-130 is taking over a year. You know, the waivers, the I-601A waivers, they're taking 4 years. So our clients, they're constantly calling us and what's the status? Oh, it's still pending. It's still pending, right? So this is why they're working on the backlog. They really want to work on the backlog. And they've told AILA, the American Immigration Lawyers Association, they've told us that they are wanting to hire more employees to work on this backlog, hire more staff. So that's important.
Yeah, sure. For doing so, they have to increase the fees. And that's the explanation of what they are doing, what they're doing now with the fees.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and especially because there is a lot more asylum applications and refugee support, so they need to hire more staff, right? So, I mean, we all know I have asylum applications that have been pending for almost 9-10 years. So this is, it is crucial. It is crucial. Okay, so let's look at what some of the fees will do. And some, like we mentioned, some of the fees are actually going to go down.
Yes, sure.
Because they did look at everything and they saw, okay, where are we getting a lot of fee waivers? Should we maybe reduce the fees or do a fee exemption in these types of cases? And so that we're going to talk about that as well. Okay. So one of the applications that just pops up in my mind is the I-130. You know, the I-130, if it's a standalone I-130, we could do that online. If there's an online version, if it's a standalone I-130, we could possibly do it online.
Yes.
And there's a discount for that. Okay. But what if it's a one step? And let me give you an example of what a one step would be for our listeners who may not know, who may not understand what a one step is. So let's say we have Karen, and Karen is from Mexico, and she entered the United States on a visitor visa. Let's say she entered back in 2000. And she overstayed. She stayed in the United States. And years later, many, 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 many years later, she married James, who is a U.S. citizen. And because Karen entered the United States on a visitor visa, and because James is a U.S. citizen, she will be able to adjust her status in the United States. The process is going to look like this. We're going to file an I-130 and an I-45 along with an I-765, which is the work permit, along with possibly an I-131, which is an advanced parole, perhaps, and then the I-864, which is the affidavit of support, and maybe if they need a co-sponsor. But those are some of the forms that we would need to file. And Mariana, tell me, what are some of those, how does that process look like? We use a program.
Yes.
Management system.
Yes, we use a program to file all the application, to do the filing. But the problem would be, I mean, for me and in my experience working with those type of cases, that you have to prove every application you're submitting. For instance, with the I-485, you are proving that you are going to adjust her status, I mean the status of Karen. So we will need to submit some evidence, I mean, along with the ID documents, for instance, her passport, her visa. So if we will be doing all the applications together, or I mean separate, doing it with the online filing forms, we're going to have multiple packets. So it will be like double the work we do right now. Because right now what we are doing is doing a cover letter, doing a whole packet containing all the information. We're just submitting once the ID documents, once the passport, once the evidence of the co-sponsor. But doing it online, we have to do double the work or triple the work and prove everything each time we submit an application. So that would be hard for us. And maybe we will have to do even more and more work for the filing in fees.
And with our program that we use, you enter the information one time.
Yes, just one.
And if the client comes back and says, oh, I have changes, it's easier to do the changes because we're just changing the information. And it's not as hard because you're not having to redo all that the forms all over again. Yes, it's tedious, but it's not as it's just a change.
Yes.
It's not
as hard as doing it online, because if we will doing it online, we will have to change everything and maybe start from zero. Even though we have most of the information correct, we will have to start from zero and put all the information again, not just the thing that we are going to change. I mean, everything. And that's double the work.
Yeah, because when you're doing it online, well, first of all, the I-130 we're able to do online, but the I-45, we are not able to do online. They don't have an online, they don't have that possibility yet to do online at this moment. So that's only a paper filing.
So we will have to file that in physical and the rest of the application, I mean the I-130 and the I-765, we will have to do it online and the rest physical. And it will be maybe a lot of work to have different applications, one doing physical, one doing online.
And the problem, another additional problem is, well, in my experience, is uploading some of these documents. Sometimes it gets, you're not able to read to upload all those documents that we submit because there's a limit to how much you can upload. Additionally, when you submit the I-45, when it's a one step, especially when you have an I-130, in my experience and in the experience of many of my colleagues, I have noticed that USCIS rejects the I-45, even if you have the receipt of the I-130, or if you even have your approval of the I-130. Because for whatever reason, they want to see the application of the I-130 with the I-45. We're constantly having to send it back and send it back and send it back until they notice it and they say, oh, there's the receipt. So it causes us a lot more work, a lot more headache. And it's frustrating for us. It's frustrating for the client.
Yeah, well. Sure, because they have to wait longer.
Yes. And the client's mad at us because they don't understand that we're doing our job. We're doing it right. But they don't understand that USCIS is rejecting it because they're not seeing the receipt or they're not seeing the I-130. So it's not worth saving those $50.
No, it's not. No, in those type of cases, it's not. It's not.
Yeah, because we're going to end up charging the client more. If you want to do I-130 online, paper filing, we're going to charge you a lot more because it's too much of a headache. We're going to continue doing paper filing for those one steps because it just makes sense.
Yes, and maybe the clients are thinking, oh, we're saving money, but you're not, and you're losing time, not just money, time, because you're going to be waiting more if we have to do all the changes and resend to USCIS information, and even if we are not able to provide all of the evidence, because we need to prove that you enter legally to the US or that you are under marriage. If we are not able to submit all the evidence, they wouldn't have all the picture. So that would affect the clients.
Correct. That's the whole purpose of filing the one step all at once. Correct. So that's really important. You know, but, you know, going back, that's one thing that's really, really, really important. And I think that that's really good to explain. And then some of the things that we've encountered just filing online is some of our clients have struggled with opening up their accounts. Right? And
yes,
we're trying to help them open up their accounts.
Even clients who are tech savvy and know how to use technology have had those type of problems because it is not an easy system. So we will have to explain them and retry and even have in-person meetings. So that's kind of hard.
Yeah. And once they see in person what we're doing and, oh, it's just this right here, it clicks for them, but it's kind of like, oh, yeah, I should have seen that from the beginning. I just didn't realize that that's what they wanted me to do. Yeah. So it's a learning curve. And it's a learning curve for everybody, I think.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah. But for clients who really don't know how to use the internet, not familiar with the internet, are not tech savvy, it's going to be a struggle with doing online. It's really going to be a learning curve for them, I think. But on a good note, right, some of the filing fees are going to be maybe reduced or eliminated, such like if you're filing for adjustment of status based on VAWA, adjustment of status based on use, adjustment of status based on a T, adjustment of status based on special immigrant juvenile. Those cases, you won't have a filing fee anymore.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
You know, I was really excited to contact a client this week and tell them, guess what? We're going to wait to file your applications till after April 1st because then you don't have to pay the fee. So they were very pleased about that. Very, very pleased. So we may have to resign the forms, but that's okay.
I have a question, and I would like to clarify that on this topic. Those exemptions are going to be for just online filing or physical filing too?
Physical filing, because remember the I-45, there's only paper filing.
Okay, perfect.
Yep, paper filing. So that's the great thing, right? Now, one thing though is starting with April 1st, prior to April 1st, when you had the one step, the I-40, or let's say you had an I-130 approved and you're filing I-45, I-765 and I-131, all of those three applications were included in the filing fee for the I-45. Now, starting after April 1st, that's not the case anymore. So there will be a filing fee for a step for the work permit and a filing fee for the advanced parole. So that's important to note. So not only will the filing fee go up for the I-485, but you're going to have a filing fee for the work permit. And you're going to have a filing for the advanced parole. And so that is important to note. So I think that is it. unfortunately, for those people, it's not just an increase in filing fees, but it's an increase in, you're not going to get the benefit of having a I-765 anymore included. You're going to have to pay for that as well. And then we also have the, and I wanted to mention the naturalization applications. So the naturalization application, you can also file online. There will be a discount, $50 discount, I think, for naturalizations filed online. Okay, not, that's good. However, it's interesting because I was looking at the increases or the fee changes, and it looks like there's going to be, if you don't meet the poverty guidelines by a certain range, your the fee is going to be actually $380 versus $760 or $710. So that could be good for a lot of people.
Yeah, sure.
So we'll just have to see how that plays out, because I'm wondering if they're going to institute a new form or how that's going to play out. So we'll just see how that works. But I'm very curious to see how that works.
Yeah, it could be great for clients to have that discount on their fees.
Yes. And one more thing to note is biometrics. So normally you would see the filing fee and then $85 tax for a biometric fee. So that's how it normally is right now. Now the biometric fee is going to be included on the applications, which I think is wise.
On all of the application of, or most of the applications?
I think it's going to be all the applications.
That's great. That's awesome for clients.
Yes, because then we don't have to start calculating, okay, it's going to be, let's say it's $410, and then we have to tack on the $85, so it's $495, right? So now it's, we're just going to tell the clients, okay, it's this.
Just one payment.
Yeah, so, which is nice. Now, one thing, and this has been going on for a while, but I think it's good to note, immigration wants separate checks or separate money orders. We send checks, separate checks for each application. Very important. Because, so I-130, they have their separate fee. I-45 is going to have their separate fee. I-765 is going to have their separate fee. I-131 is going to have their separate fee. So each application will have a separate fee. Each application is going to have a separate check. So I think that's really important to note.
Yeah, sure. It's very important.
Yeah, because they might reject the application if you don't send the separate checks.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, so those are some of the changes. There's a lot of other changes going on, you know, as far as the fees are concerned, but these are just the highlights. These are some of the things that I wanted to touch base on and explain why, if, you know, you go see an attorney and they explain to you, I'm not going to file this online. I'm going to file this on paper, right? and you don't understand why. This is why. You know, it doesn't make sense for some of us to file on paper. You know, I'll explain it to you. I hope you listen to the podcast and you get a better understanding of why. So, Mariana, do you have anything else to add as to why we may want to file by paper or anything else on the fees?
No, I think everything is clear, but I would like the clients think of it as not just as, oh, we're saving money. No, think all of the picture and see that it is going to cost you even more if we file online some of the applications. So just think of it and make a decision.
Yep, sounds good. Mariana, thank you so much for being here, and we will talk to everybody next time. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Unite Immigrant Families.
Thank you.